Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. Quiet One Bills Drive with Buffalo Bills players now off for the rest of this week. You got the bye week coming up this Sunday. Their next game is a week from Sunday, November 25th, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Roster move late yesterday. Nathan Peterman released by the Buffalo Bills. The quarterback who began the season as Buffalo starter was finally released. The Bills had four quarterbacks on the roster. Right now they're down to three with Derek Anderson, Matt Barkley, and, of course, Josh Allen. Nathan Peterman won the three-man competition for the starting quarterback job in preseason, started against Baltimore, then replaced at halftime. For his career in Buffalo, he appeared in eight games, four starts, completed just over 52% of his passes, three touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Nathan Peterman released by the Buffalo Bills late yesterday. Monday Night Football last night, New York Giants came from behind a 10-point second-half deficit, and they beat the 49ers 27-23. The Giants now 2 wins, 7 losses, and the 49ers are 2-8. Former Browns coach Hugh Jackson going back to work in the league. He's going to work for his friend Marvin Lewis, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. The former Browns coach has been named a special assistant to the head coach. He is a specialist on the offensive side of the ball. The Bengals 5-4 trying to stay alive in the playoff race, and two of their remaining games are against Hugh Jackson's Cleveland Browns team, his former team. They play in Cincinnati November 25th and in Cleveland December 23rd. Le'Veon Bell has just about 2 hours to make his decision. The all-pro running back must decide by 4 p.m. whether to report to the Steelers and sign his franchise tag. Also today, there's concern in Mexico City over the Rams-Kansas City game next Monday night. Awful field conditions there at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Concert last week, soccer game played on the turf. And right now there are reports that the league is keeping an eye trying to determine whether the game could even be played there. Other options include moving it to Los Angeles or postponing it to a later date. Hockey tonight, Sabres and Tampa Bay face off at 7:30 at KeyBank Center. That game on NBC Sports Network. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here at One Bills Drive. Steve, you are headed to hockey tonight. You're pretty pumped up about Sabres and Lightning.
I feel like a kid that's about to go in recess.
Because of the game tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready to get out and be out.
Watch out, Buffalo.
Right, yeah.
Steve is out and about tonight. Hey, joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline to talk about Le'Veon Bell and some of the other NFL issues. Very happy to have USA Today NFL writer and editor Nate Davis. He's covered the league since 2005. Nate, thanks for joining us. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys.
Sure.
Nate, I want to start out with a question. We've been talking about this Le'Veon Bell situation, and by all accounts, and from all of us outside the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and outside that fan base and all of it, it seems like an absolute mess. Can you shed any light on what's going on and what we can expect to happen at 4 o'clock today, if anything?
Well, Steve, I just want to start out and say I grew up a Jets fan and I hated watching you play. complete admiration. I hope they put you in the Hall of Fame one day.
Wait, Nate, no, we have a little counter that keeps track of Hall of Fame votes for Steve. Are you voting for Steve right here for the Hall of Fame?
Jared Bell is my proxy, but I will make sure that I put something in his ear again at Super Bowl.
One more for Steve
when it comes up.
Yeah,
one more
Hall of Fame.
One more
up
for
to
Steve.
Three.
I think it's like 75 or something.
Yeah,
73, 74. We're up to 74.
Tell me about Nate. Tell me about this Le'Veon Bell mess.
You know, I was with the Steelers. I covered them for the Baltimore game a week ago last Sunday, and then I was in Pittsburgh for the Panthers game last week, and. You know, they don't want to talk about it. You know, I asked Ben Roethlisberger after the game, hey, you know, and at that point we thought he was coming back. You know, how do you guys, is it easy or is it hard to bring a talent like that into an offense that's playing so well right now? Steelers are scoring 35 points a game their last, you know, their five-game winning streak. And they're just shutting it down. They don't want to talk about him. They don't want to talk about the guys not there. You know, David DeCastro had some strong remarks about it the previous week. It's so rare in the NFL, you know, Steve, for players to even opine on another guy's money or contractual situation or whatever. But he clearly upset them, you know, from the outset this year when he didn't show up for week one. And, you know, the other part of this is these guys really have the utmost respect, I think, for James Conner, not only from what he overcame in college, but just the way he plays and the way he put his head down and produced for them. So, I wrote a column, you know, after the Panthers game saying, you know, even if Le'Veon Bell reports, I think the Steelers are better off just leaving him inactive, you know, put him through a mini training camp, at the training facility for 4 weeks or whatever and have him ready if you need him. But doesn't look like we're going to get there. Sounds like he's going to take his football and go home.
Yeah, let me ask you about that because let's face it, Le'Veon Bell knew what he was getting into. He held out this year because last year, under the tag as well, he had more touches than anybody in the league. I mean, he had like over 400 touches, and he kind of was looking at the same scenario. The Steelers knew the end was coming for Le'Veon Bell. Either they're going to pay him or overpay him, or he's going to go on the free agent market. So they were probably going to give him, and they were going to use him up. So him sitting out this whole year, he stays fresh. He gets a year to recuperate from the last year he had and go into free agency healthy. But does that add up to $14.5 million?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. I mean, I can't really figure out the business strategy of walking away from $14.5 million, you know, guaranteed, $855,000 a week in game checks that he's given up. And given also just you know the way running backs get paid, that's a pretty good chunk of change for anybody, but particularly with that market. And you know, at the time this all started, you know, he had the opportunity to sign a new deal back in July. At that point, Shady McCoy and Devontae Freeman, I think, were the highest paid backs on a you know multi-year contract. They were both at about $8 million, and then we saw Todd Gurley reset the market later, and David Johnson. So. But, you know, again, it seems like Le'Veon also thinks he should be up in that wide receiver market and making Antonio Brown money, which is more like $17 million. So yeah. There's a lot of tentacles to whatever his business strategy is.
Yeah, and it seems as that it was reported that he turned down the $70 million five-year deal. Now, granted, and I think a lot of players feel this way, that was not guaranteed money. Very little of it was guaranteed. So he wanted no part of it, right?
Yeah, I think that deal was structured where $30 million was guaranteed, which was essentially 2 years of the franchise tag. So, yeah, he was betting on himself that he could get more down the line. But, of course, that was kind of before we knew he wasn't going to report at all.
Hey, Nate, by the way, we're on the line with Nate Davis, USA Today NFL writer, editor. Take us through some of the scenarios that could happen here at 4 o'clock. What happens, for instance, if Le'Veon Bell decides to walk in to report? He shows up for work, and what? They can throw a uniform on him and play him right away? Is that even viable, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's viable. I mean, if he shows up for work and signs his tag by 4 o'clock, I mean, yeah, he goes on to the roster as part of the 53.
Do they want to do that at this point?
Well, I can't imagine that they do. Again, they're not talking about it. But that's the other part of it, too. You know, last year, 2017, he showed up, you know, 4 days before the season started, I think. And
right.
It took him a good month to round into shape. If you look at his numbers, I think he had about 75 yards a game, you know, scrimmage yards the first three, and then was up to about 140 over the last 12 weeks. So that's another problem is you got to bring a guy in, if he reports who's not in football shape, and then you're waiting for him to get into football shape for the better part of a month. And how do you do that? I mean, you're not going to take James Conner out of your lineup and, you know, does Le'Veon Bell get in football shape by getting 10 or 12 touches a game? You know, I don't know. But, you know, to your question, John, yeah, I mean, if he shows up, he reports, he's on the roster, and then the Steelers got to decide, you know, what to do with him. And this was another point I made in the column is, you know, some people are saying, oh, it's just like Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, you know, Pittsburgh style. I don't think so. I mean, the Saints, those guys are used to playing, you know, kind of in a complimentary role, used right. to being on the field at the same time together. Steelers haven't done that. James Conner had 2 touches a game last year, and they weren't necessarily on the field at the same time. And Le'Veon Bell has never played in this offense with Randy Fichtner as a coordinator. So this is not just a show up and plug him in right away situation to me.
So on the other side, if Le'Veon Bell decides, you know, 4 o'clock comes and goes, and then what, he's a free agent until next spring?
Well, if he doesn't show up, he cannot play this year.
Right.
So that's the real decision note today. Is if he's not there, he's not going to play this year. And then basically, you know, we're kind of back to square one from last year because the Steelers decide to tag him again. If they don't, then he does become a bona fide free agent. They're probably not going to franchise and tag him again because a third tag would be $25 million
yeah, right.
or more, and that's just not running back money.
Yeah.
What about a transition tag?
So right, Steve, they could use that, and then what the deal with the transition tag is it lets him negotiate with another team, as would a franchise tag, but there's no draft pick compensation involved. So if, you know, say the Bills come and make Le'Veon Bell an offer, and he signs the offer sheet, the Steelers then have the opportunity to match it and keep him, or they have the opportunity to decline it, and he walks away for nothing to the new team.
And I just want to say, and Steve kind of made this point a minute or two ago here, it's hard to figure out the cost-benefit that Le'Veon Bell got out of all this. I don't want to put you on the spot, Nate, but do you know who Le'Veon Bell's agent is and maybe what his thinking is, what his statements have been, what his strategy has been here?
Yeah, I reached out to him last week and haven't heard back. It's Aditya Bakari, who's also an agent from Maurice Jones-Drew. You'll remember he kind of had a rough holdout.
Sure.
With the Jaguars a few years back. MJD has said that Aditya kept him very up to speed on the permutations and the cost benefit on a daily basis. So you can only assume that Le'Veon has gone into this with eyes open, but again, it's hard for me to figure what the benefit really winds up being for him. Steve, you mentioned the transition tag. At the end of the day, the Steelers could still really control his fate again, particularly right. If they do let him negotiate with another team and then say, you know what, we're going to match it, we're going to keep you, and you're stuck in Pittsburgh again.
Yeah, the real question is, he held out, and the perfect scenario for Le'Veon Bell was that he would hold out and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense would go in the tank and they wouldn't be able to replace him. That's far from the case. James Conner has really played extremely well. They've got a guy who's stepped into that and made Le'Veon Bell look like he was a product of the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line.
Yeah, in some ways that's true. I mean, James Conner has been a revelation. You know, we all know the story about him having cancer and all that in college and overcoming it. But he's been a much more, I think, multidimensional back than we give him credit for. You know, he didn't catch a pass last season, guys. Not one pass. And then he's had this string of games with 100 yards rushing and 50 yards receiving. He's not the gifted route runner and maybe, you know, can't do the stop and start, cut on the dime stuff that Le'Veon does behind the block sometimes. But by the same token, he's a one cut and he is hitting the hole hard kind of guy. And I think his teammates really admire his style of play. And they have not lost, you know, a drip of production at all from switching from Le'Veon to Conner this year.
Couple of minutes left with Nate Davis, USA Today NFL writer, editor, just looking at some other league issues. Nate, it's hard, you know, the Patriots' loss of the Titans, and absolutely the Patriots will have their bumps in the road, but I get the sense that maybe that loss has some import, some significance for New England, especially in terms of home field in the playoffs and maybe even a chink in the armor of a Patriots team that normally by this time of the year, mid-November, is rolling along. What did you see of that Titans win over the Patriots? What does it mean to New England?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I couldn't pinpoint too much with that one. They do tend to lay these eggs every once in a while. They are a little you know beat up right now and still kind of incorporating some new. I mean, Sony Michel just coming back. No Gronk in that game, but you do wonder too about the odometer sometimes, and particularly when you've had so many deep playoff runs. You know, Steve can speak to that. But you know, one fun stat I point back to this year, guys, is you know the Patriots have never gone back to the Super Bowl the year after they lost it. There have been a few. I guess they've lost five now in their history, or three in the Brady era. But it's hard to get back that far, just because eventually. You know, at some point they're playing a full extra season over their other, you know, these other teams over the course of a couple of years, and those guys are getting older. So, and they have had so much turnover, you know, with especially in that backfield, and Sony Michel being the new guy and being hurt and trying to kind of, you know, get by with Cordero Patterson and guys like that run the ball for you, and that defense still, in my opinion, not really fixed. I mean, we saw it exposed in the Super Bowl last year. It's not a dominant unit. I mean, it's built to kind of give up those empty calorie yards between the 20s, but not in the red zone. And that's kind of how they design it. But, I mean, there are going to be those weeks where the Patriots can be had.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because there's a handful of teams in the league that are kind of separating themselves, New England being one of them, despite their loss last week. You got New Orleans, you've got the Rams, you've got the Chiefs. You'd almost put Pittsburgh in that thing, too, at 6-2-1. But yeah, the Chargers at 7-2. I mean, you've got like six or seven teams that are have-nots. What, you know, give us a kind of insight. Is the team I'm looking at is the Rams, who emerged last season under Sean McVay and have kept it going and kind of pushed all their chips to the center of the table in the preseason this year. They got the free agents, they spent the money, and now they've got two guys in Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley who aren't even quarterbacks, who are making a bid for the MVP. I mean, they're playing that well out in L.A. Is L.A. the team to beat? I mean, you got the Saints over there. You know, the NFC's loaded. How good are the Rams? I've seen them play. I've seen it up close and personal. They had everything going against them this last week, and they still won. I mean, this team in L.A., talk about Todd Gurley, about Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, and how good this Rams team is from top to bottom.
Well, it's certainly good, Stephen. You know, they're, like you said, they're kind of in that, you know, throw about half a dozen teams in the bag and pick one out. You can probably make a strong Super Bowl case for them, and they're certainly one. And having that innovative coach with Sean McVay, I guess the reason I worry about them a little bit is that defense, and you do have two guys in Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh who are just, you know, tremendous players, but they're also kind of up the field rushers a lot of the time. And this team has been a bit vulnerable against the run. In fact, very vulnerable against the run. And they've also been vulnerable against the pass with Aqib Talib out. And I think once they get him back, you know, that might be when they really hit their stride, when they've had a little extra time to get Dante Fowler up to speed in their system. But you got to like the Rams. But I'd say my personal favorite really the last month has been New Orleans. And I just like I call them kind of the all-weather team, although I don't think they're going to need to be because they've got that inside track now. I'm the number one seed in the NFC, but you know, when you've got the NFL's all-time leading passer, and then you've got the best, you know, running back duo in the league, you know, you bring in Brandon Marshall, a guy like that is purely a luxury. And then I think of their defense, like the old Colts. I mean, these guys are pretty much up 21-0 out of the chute on their opponents recently. And all you're asking your defense to do at that point is pin the ears back, go after the quarterback, and hold the lead. I really like what they're doing, and I think, you know, I don't think play calling is better than what Sean Payton does.
Hey, Nate, thanks for this. Good to talk with you. We'll keep an eye on your reporting on Le'Veon Bell and everything else around the league. We appreciate it.
Okay, and I'll vote for Steve. Thanks, guys.
Another vote for Steve. You only get one vote. Just one vote, Nate. You already voted. We've already counted
your
vote.
And it's been wasted on me.
It's already been counted. We already took note of it. Nate Davis covers the NFL, NFL writer, editor for USA Today. He's covered the NFL for about 13 years now. Joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline presented by Subway Restaurants. Proud to be locally owned and operated. Steve and I coming back with more calls we'll take from you. How many wins left in the tank for the Buffalo Bills? 6 games left. How many do you think they will win? We'll revisit our Twitter poll and talk with you about it on the telephone line at 803-0550 and toll free at 1-888-550-2550. Plus, NFL true and false. Got to do it today. We're back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Kind of got into it with Nate Davis, Steve, but you know, you're a Sabre season ticket holder, but you're really pumped about this game tonight. Tell me why.
Don't ask me why.
I just did ask you why. Tell me why.
It's been a while because they're playing one of the top teams in the conference, and you want to see them measure up. Hmm. And they've been playing well of late. They had a day or two off, and come on, let's see it. You know, I want to see you guys step up punch him in the mouth. You don't have to win the game, but I don't want you getting beat 4-0 either. Let's compete and let's see what it's like to get up there. It's time for the Sabres to measure themselves against these guys and to measure up instead of seeing how far they have to go.
You're pretty bummed or pretty pumped.
I feel like a kid that's about ready to go on
because
recess.
You're going to a hockey game.
I'm just getting out of math class. Nothing to say that this isn't a fun job. I'm just saying it's like you're getting out of math class and you're going out to recess in about, you know, 20 minutes and you just can't wait.
And this will be your third or fourth game this year already?
Third or fourth, yeah.
And how many are you going to wind up going to this year?
15, 20.
That's good. Good for you. I'm looking forward to January when I start using my season tickets.
Well, you can imagine because most of my games up until January or December, you know, I kind of got to go midweek games. I can't hit the weekend games. Yeah. I actually missed the Saturday game because I was out of town. So,
yeah. You know. Hey, we want to keep talking with you about our Twitter poll conversation. It's a good one. More than 3,700 votes in on Twitter. Bills with 6 games remaining. How many will they win? On Twitter, 47% of you say they're going to win 0-2, 0-1 or 2 more games. 35% say they're going to win 3 or 4. 17% say they're going to win 5 or 6. Give us a call. We'll discuss. We can read some of your tweets on the air. 803-0550, the number to call with your tweets. And if you'd like to discuss, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a call or two on this issue. How many more wins do they have? It's Jonathan and Alden. Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. First things first, I want to give Steve a Hall of Fame vote. And secondly, Bills can win 3 or 4 more because I really like Wyatt Teller. I think he improves our offensive line. And really, I can't wait to see what Josh Allen looks like with a better offensive line. I think we got a third receiver. So I think the team overall feels a little bit better. I mean, yeah, we're the Jets, we're a bad team, but I'm looking forward to seeing Justin Hill back. So I would say 4 more wins.
Yeah, I think I'm more interested also not only in seeing how Josh Allen plays against the Jaguars. I want to see this defense up against an offense that struggled. You know, I want to see him against a quarterback that throws at the other team a little too much. You know, I want to see how that helps this offense get better as well. I think it was an enormous – and you mentioned – I think you mentioned this yesterday, and I'm sure we did – that the Bills – we talked to Terrell Pryor last week, and he said, listen, we need one big play. And they got it on the first play of the game. Two plays into the game on Sunday, the Bills have the lead, and it's the first time they played with the lead. And that defense came out – a little bit of pep in their step, you could tell. And that's a different attitude. And I think I'd love to see him do that a little more often. And hopefully with an offense like Jacksonville's coming in here with, this Bills defense can do that again.
On the tweet sheet to the question, how many more wins for the Bills this year? Mallory Livingston. This is a good one. How many more wins for the Bills? Mallory Livingston. Our offense with all the new parts is like a couple's awkward first dance. Lots of toe stepping, knee knocking, and elbow clacking going on. Once they find their rhythm, figure out what they're good at, and their sore toes heal up, they'll be fine and win some games. Toe tap.
I got to tell you, Mallory Livingston put a lot of thought into that little analogy.
Toe
good for
stepping.
Her. Yeah, it's
knee
right.
Knee knocking.
They have been awkward at best at some spots during this season.
Yeah.
But they certainly found their rhythm this last Sunday against the Jets.
Can they keep it going? Here's an interesting tweet from the tweet sheet from PJC. And here's something I bet has never been written on Twitter before. You ready? I respect everyone's opinion.
That's right.
He starts. I don't think those words have ever been said on Twitter before. I respect everyone's opinion, but some of you guys do realize that we have the league's easiest schedule from here on out. We have 4 home games, and we have the number one defense in the league, right? Got to think at least 3, hopefully 4. You know, one thing, look, and you remember this, Steve, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I talked a lot about the Bills' schedule, how it lightened up at the second half of the season and hammered away at that. And then all of a sudden the Bills got in this 4-game slump when they were scoring 6 points a game. And I just dropped it. I think you're not going to beat anybody who you're playing if you're not scoring touchdowns. Now they have the big breakout game on offense. We'll see if they keep it going. But it is true. The schedule is not that daunting. One winning team left on the schedule for the final 6 are at home and the remaining 6. Look, I'm not going to play that card anymore. PJC just did because they had that long stretch where they weren't scoring any points. And it was impossible to envision any wins, no matter who they were playing, when they weren't getting in the end zone. That is behind us now, one would hope.
Here's something else about that as well. When we got into the season, those first 4 games looked really daunting and stuff. Vikings aren't all that they were a year ago. The Chargers are actually a lot better than they were a year ago. The Baltimore Ravens aren't quite what they were a year ago, although they're still kind of in the mix at 4-5. They're kind of hanging in there, and of course the Packers, who you know are still in the hunt in the NFC. Although you've heard me, I don't think they're that good. But at this point, the halfway point of the season, you know who these teams are. There's no hiding, and this schedule coming up, you can compare the first half and the teams and their 1-loss record. Now with the teams they have left over, and you're right, it is easier. That's the thing that makes this second half of the season a little more, a little more familiar. You kind of know what you're up against now. The Jets have struggled. The Dolphins are struggling after a fast start. The Detroit Lions are struggling. This is a stretch of the schedule, and the Bills, we were prisoner of the moment, no question. The Bills are getting their rookie quarterback back in the game. Their defense is number 1, and they've got home field for the remainder of the schedule. Yeah, you can jump on board with that. These teams are who they are this year. This isn't talking about last year, where things have changed over the offseason, as they do sometimes. It's this year, this team this year, and the schedule is easier. So with home games and the defense playing as well as it is, yeah, there's every reason to be optimistic.
How many more wins do the Bills have left in them? Give us a call if you want to discuss. Kevin in Hamburg on the line. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
The 9-7 tweet is a far reach. It would be a miracle, and that'd be wonderful, but it's a little bit of a far reach. If we can get, after the spankings that we got this year, to 8-8, that would be like the miracle of miracles, which means only have to lose, unfortunately, to New England, which has sort of been a cliche too long. But if we could beat Jacksonville, beat Miami twice, beat the Jets here, and beat inconsistent Detroit, That would be 8-8 would be the ultimate pinnacle. 9-7.
I don't know about ultimate pinnacle, the miracle at 8 wins, Kevin, but I know what you mean. It would be a big bounce back. And, you know, part of what we're dealing with here too, Steve, when people like Kevin say that is the Bills weren't just losing. They were getting absolutely smoked by a lot of teams. I mean, they've had some bad one-sided losses this year, which colors those losses, right? Colors the perception of those losses. Just to get through the rest of the season without any more of those would be a welcome relief, right? Just to have as a broadcaster, I'm looking for close games. We haven't had too many close games.
Right.
I'd love to sign up for a couple of close games, some last-minute finishes, or even fourth-quarter games that are in question. We haven't had much of that this year.
Yeah, and you're right. This is it's been one of those years where you think back, there's been one game, and it was, what, the Tennessee game. The
Titans, yeah.
That's it. Everything else has been double digits one way or the other, and oh, yeah, and I mean, 9-7, you're right, that's a pipe dream. But, you know, if you get to 8-8, that means the Bills finish the season 6-2 after this last win against the Jets and then go 5-1 the rest of the way. That's 7-1 to finish the season, right? What am I thinking of? I can't.
They were 2-7 before last week.
Right.
Now they're 3-7.
Now they're 3-7 with six games to go.
So if they finish with 8?
Yeah, they would win. They would win 6 out of their last 7 games.
Yeah.
You don't think that would paint a rosy picture for this offseason?
Sure, yeah.
That would really set this team up with a lot of hope, and expectations would absolutely skyrocket. But, you know, 6-1 might be a little optimistic, you know, to finish these, or actually not 6-1, at 5-1 might be a little optimistic. But, you know, 4-2, yeah. 3-3, okay. You know, that kind of thing. I do think they're going to win more than 2. Out of these last games, I think they'll win at least 2 anyway. So I think that's the you can, you know, sit here even at the rough stretch they've had. That's why this is so fun to talk about, because we don't know how Josh is going to look when he gets back in there when he's healthy. The defense you can kind of depend on. The offensive line, wow, it showed up this last week against the Jets, but the Jets were kind of laying down. What's going to happen here? You know, and I think that's the fun part, and it sets us up for a really intriguing bye week. I mean, I don't know what game we're going to get here in Buffalo, but I'm going to be watching a lot of games trying to figure out what's going to happen the rest of the way.
Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think about the Buffalo Bills and how they finish up the season. How many more wins do they have? Time now to do a little NFL true or false, and we do this around about this time every day on the show. NFL True or False is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Here we go. Andrew Luck, Colts quarterback. Andrew Luck's comeback is the NFL story of the year. I'm going false. Patrick Mahomes' play is the NFL story of the year. Andrew Luck may be the comeback story of the year, but is it the NFL story of the year? No, I don't think so. It's a good story. It's encouraging. But I honestly believe that Patrick Mahomes is the NFL's story of the year.
Yeah, no question. Andrew Luck is a comeback player, and it's one of the great stories of the season. His ability to come back after not playing an entire season with a shoulder injury. But you know what? They took it so easy with him and so close. You'd think, okay, he's going to come back and play pretty good. He's going to stay healthy, and he did. So yeah, it's one of the stories, but no, I agree with you. Patrick Mahomes has been the surprise of the NFL. Andrew Luck's been a good story, but not the story in the NFL. So I think that's false.
NFL True or False, sponsored by Yancey's Fancy. Number two, Baker Mayfield is the leader for Rookie of the Year. We still got, by the way, 6 games left in this schedule. Some teams have 7 games left to play. Baker Mayfield is leading Rookie of the Year. True or false? Go ahead.
I might say true. In this moment, yeah. I mean, he put together a really good game this last week, and as a rookie playing for a bad football team in Cleveland, or what has been a bad football team, to have him come in and wrestle the leadership and that spot away from any other rookie in the league, like Saquon Barkley or, you know, any of the others you want to name.
I will name him.
Yeah, I think it's true. I'd say true. Baker Mayfield has been surprising, and he has been up and down, no question. But when he's up, he looks really good, and I gotta tip my hat to him.
I say it is false, and I would say Saquon Barkley is the NFL's Rookie of the Year. And you just nailed it. I mean, Mayfield's been up and he's been down. He's had some good games, some bad games, played well this past week, but I think Saquon Barkley's played better. And again, there's some season left to play here. I want to see Tremaine Edmonds start to get mentioned as a candidate anyway for NFL Rookie of the Year. The guy plays every snap when he plays.
He's on the number one defense in the league.
That's right.
He's middle linebacker, defensive Rookie of the Year.
Calls the signals for the number one defense in the NFL. Plays every down for the number one defense in the NFL when he's healthy. Why doesn't he get mentioned? He's got to be mentioned, Tremaine Edmonds, right? Should be mentioned.
I think it's under the radar because of the one loss record of the team. But man, oh man, when people, you've got to say he's doing some great things for the best defense in the league. He's got to be in that conversation.
In the conversation, that's all I'm saying. One more for NFL True or False. It's a headline for ESPN. Overreacting to NFL Week 10, Mitchell Trubisky is this year's Jared Goff. Please. Did you see Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears here a couple of weeks ago? Yes, they won. Trubisky didn't do anything special. I'm not sure he's capable of doing anything special, to be honest with you. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. He runs. I mean, he's more of a threat as a runner than a passer right now. Absolutely false. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, has a long way to go to be considered anywhere close to Jared Goff.
You're right. That's ridiculous. I mean, Jared Goff is like, they were scoring 30 points a game. Jared Goff bounced back like nobody else. He was a bust in his rookie year. He came back the next year and through the first half of the season was in the MVP conversation. Mitch Trubisky is not anywhere near the MVP. He may not be the MVP of his team.
You're right. Tariq Cohen's a much more dynamic offensive performer.
So Trubisky's okay. I mean, he's their guy, and congratulations to Chicago for finding their franchise quarterback for the next, 7, 8, 10, 12 years, whenever, 14 years. He can have him. But no, he is not having the kind of year Jared Goff did a year ago.
NFL True and False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese.
No, go ahead. I was going to pile on Trubisky further.
Didn't get enough?
I'm done. I'll let it go.
Didn't get enough on him? Hey, we got to recognize the AdPro Sports Coaches of the Week for both Section 5 and Section 6. In Buffalo, Section 6, the AdPro Sports High School Football Coach of the Week comes from Cleveland Hill High School. Glenn Graham led Cleve Hill to a 54-6 win over Letchworth, Warsaw, and the Far West Regionals. Cleve Hill now 10-1. They play Susquehanna Valley in the New York State semifinals. In Section 5 in Rochester, the Ad Pro Sports High School Football Coach of the Week, Brennan Briggs of Batavia. He is the Coach of the Week. Batavia beat Cheektowaga in the Class B Far West Regionals. The Blue Devils now 11-0, and they play Scandia Atlas in the New York State semifinals. There you go. Ad Pro Sports, the High School Football Coaches of the Week. Steve and I coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Today's show presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Kim Jones on the show, one of our favorite guests from the NFL Network. She also works for WFAN Radio. We talked to her a lot about the Jets and the fact that the Jets lost so miserably to the Bills last Sunday, what it means for their head coach, Todd Bowles. We asked Kim Jones, what's it like in the locker room there? What do those players think of Todd Bowles and his prospects as the head coach of the Jets?
Well, if you subscribe to actions speaking louder than words, they don't feel real strongly about it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point.
You know, Jamal Adams is a big leader there. He was a good draft pick there, and I do think that they still believe Sam Darnold is the future. But Jamal Adams says he has Todd Bowles' back. Is Jamal Adams playing hard? I've never seen him not play hard, at least nothing that I could see, so I believe Jamal Adams. But in terms of his speaking for the locker room, I think he wants to, and I think his heart and head are in the right place, but I'm not sure enough of them are giving that kind of effort like Jamal Adams, at least not from what we saw against the Bills.
Kim Jones on our show earlier today. Also on the show today, Peter King from Football Morning in America, NBC Sports, and Pro Football Talk, longtime pro football expert Peter King. He actually named Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as one of his top 10 coaches of the week this past week for the Bills' victory at the Jets. And Brian Daboll got cited by Peter King because of what he did with Matt Barkley playing quarterback against the Jets.
I mean, I named him one of my coaches of the week this week because I don't know how you get a guy ready. First of all, I mean, Matt Barkley has not played much football in the NFL in the last 3 years, obviously. My feeling is this is one of those deals where, as a coaching staff, you sit there and say, okay, how are we going to help Matt Barkley? And you say, okay, we're sending the left tackle out for a pass in the red zone. And in my opinion, that was a really, really smart play-calling game by Brian Daboll.
Peter King talking about Brian Daboll. Hey, our Twitter poll was interesting today. We had almost 4,000 responses and a lot of calls. Bills with six games remaining, how many of those six are they going to win? On the Twitter poll, 47%, about half of you, said they're going to win 0 to 2 more games, 0, 1, or 2. 35% of you say they're going to win 3 or 4 more games. 18% say they're going to win 5 or 6 more games. I'm right in the middle there, Steve. I'm going 3 or 4 more games. I said going into the year they'd win 6 or 7, and I think they have a chance to wind up right about there. But we'll see. And again, Josh Allen is the key here, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting and fun to watch him come back out and start the game again. It seems like it's been a long, long time since we've seen him. And I guess it has, and plus after the bye week it's going to be even further. But his development is what a lot of people base this whole season on. It's a pivotal season. They want him to play better. If he can come in, get some mentorship from Derek Anderson, from Matt Barkley, and the things he's learned by watching and hearing other guys coached up at the position he's going to play at this level, watch them implement their game plan. I want to see some different things from him. I want to see some more production, some easier completions. I see him be more efficient. And like one of our callers said today, it'd be nice if he didn't pull it down so quickly and run with it. But I think that's the most fun thing and most exciting thing about this upcoming game against Jacksonville after the bye.
We have one more show this week, tomorrow's show. We are off Thursday and Friday because it's the bye week. There's nobody here. But we do have a good show coming up tomorrow. Thurman Thomas is going to join us on the phones tomorrow. And Greg Cosell, a couple of days than he usually joins us, a couple of days earlier than he usually joins us, he'll be on the air to talk with us about Matt Barkley on tomorrow's show. So look forward to that. I want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. Steve, anything you want to wrap up with? You're excited about hockey tonight. Everybody knows that.
Let's go, Sabres. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's
That's
go, man.
Did you just invent that? Did you just make that up?
I made it up. Top of my head.
That's good. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.